Will you listen to it now? Chapter 30, verse 1. And this is an unconditional covenant. There are no ifs here or perhapses here. Listen to this. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. Now this is an unconditional promise of future blessing. And I want you to notice several things that he says here. There are seven great promises that God makes here, are statements that he makes that are unconditional. The nation shall be plucked off of the land for its unfaithfulness. That's quite obvious here. That took place. And there will be a future repentance of Israel. They are going to come back to God. Now, somebody says, well, it's on the basis of their obedience, is it not? No, my friend, they were dispersed because of disobedience. So in their return, they will be obedient. But this is the order of grace, not law. They are not returned because they are obedient, but they are obedient because of their return. God will bring them back to the land. The regathering of Israel into her own land is the theme, I think, of at least 12 major prophecies in the Old Testament. We're not dealing with those others today, only as we come to them, and we'll call attention when we do. Now, there's a third great statement made here. Their Messiah will return. Notice that. This is very important. And this is the first mention of the return of Christ to the earth that's recorded in Scripture. Now, when we get to the book of Jude, we'll find out Enoch mentioned it, that he was coming back. But that was not recorded in the Old Testament. Verse 3, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, have compassion on thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. That's a remarkable prophecy, you see, and will yet be fulfilled. And it was not until then that the land will be blessed, and there'll be peace in the land. The fourth statement God made is, Israel will be restored to the land. And will you notice that? The Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. That's an unconditional promise of God that rests on no if on their part. God says, in the future, he brings them back into that land. Now notice the sixth thing that's mentioned here. And that is, Israel's enemies will be judged. Verse 7, and the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies, and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord. You see, they'll return and then obey the voice of the Lord. That's the order of grace, friend. There's no condition here. And do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. Well, somebody says, couldn't the return today actually be that? Could be, but we don't know it, friends, so let's not be dogmatic where we don't know. Now notice the seventh wonderful thing he says, the nation will then receive her full blessing. Notice this, and the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of the body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou return to the Lord God with all thine heart, with all thy soul. Now, may I say to you, this is the condition on which they occupy the land today, is obedience to God. There'll be no blessing for them in that land unless they obey God. But when God returns them, He's made a covenant that He will return them someday, and it rests upon no ifs, ands, or perhapses. This is without doubt one of the most remarkable that we have in the entire Word of God. Now He comes back, and because of this covenant, and you see they are yet to go through two more dispersions for the land. They'll be returned one time. The third one has not taken place yet, even in our day. Now He goes on to say in verse 11, "For this commandment, which I command thee this day, it's not hidden from thee, neither is it far off." It's not in heaven that thou shouldst say, "Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldst say, "Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it?" You see that they can plead no excuse that they do not know it. God has brought it right to them. They can know it. And there is a responsibility to live in a land today where you can hear the gospel. And my friend, you don't have to go to heaven to get salvation. You don't have to cross the ocean to get it. May I say to you, it's right near you. It's as near you as your radio. It's near you as a preacher or a Christian who will give out the Word of God today. And you're responsible. Now, as we said, this is quoted over in the 10th chapter of the Epistle to Romans, and there Paul is quoting from this particular passage we're looking at here in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. But Paul does not say that Moses said this, but rather the of faith righteousness is the speaker. And what Paul is doing is saying something there, I think, that's quite wonderful. He's not making a substitution of faith in Romans for the law. The passage in Deuteronomy actually here is prophetic, and it speaks of a day when Israel will turn to God with all their heart and soul, and God will make a new covenant with them. Jeremiah mentions that in the 24th chapter, verse 7. He says, "I'll give them a heart to know me, that I'm the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I'll be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart." And then again in the 31st chapter, verse 31, he says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But it shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law in their inward parts, write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now, the important thing to note is that what Moses is talking about here, that which is yet future, these people will yet occupy that land because God made a covenant with them. And what does that mean? Friends, that when God makes a covenant, He makes a covenant. In earthly transactions, why, it's a promise or agreement or a contract. And all of Israel's covenants are called eternal, except the Mosaic covenant, which we saw, which is the Ten Commandments. That's temporal. And it was to continue until the coming of the promised seed. But the Abrahamic covenant is called eternal. And the very interesting thing, the Palestinian covenant is called eternal. If you'd go over to Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, verse 60, it says, "Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant." The covenant that He'd give them, that land, you see, and it rests upon the I will of God. God said it. And friends, that's the thing that makes it true. It's a literal covenant, it's an eternal covenant, and it's a covenant that He made with His nation Israel. He never promised you or me any particular land, but he says in this covenant, I will, I will. And when God says, I will, in this Palestinian covenant, it's either said or expressed 12 times. When God says he'll do it, friends. Now, this looks forward to that time when they get the land. Then their salvation will be there for them. And Christ is the one to institute this new covenant, which is yet future. Righteousness by faith is indeed witnessed to by the law and the prophets. And in the meantime, it's not necessary to ascend to bring Christ down. He's already come. And it's not necessary to raise him from the dead. He's already raised from the dead. And these people had the law for 1,500 years, and they knew it as a matter of rote and ritual, but it had not brought righteousness. Christ had come to them just as the law had. It was not something that was far off. Christ had come among them. He died and rose again in their midst. And this of faith righteousness was available to them as it is to us today. It's been preached down through the ages, and it's come to us today. And the law bore witness to both the righteousness by law and the righteousness by faith. It's not the commandments in Deuteronomy 30, but commandment, the of law righteousness that brought salvation, and it's the only one today. Now, I think that when we look at this passage in Deuteronomy 30, it'll reveal that Paul is not giving an exact quotation, but he's making an application of the passage. I think the statement of Dr. Beatt's pertinent. This appeal to Moses is a remarkable example of skillful and careful exegesis, you see. And Paul enlarges upon that. Now in verse 16 he says, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes, his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. In other words, their stay in that land, their dwelling in that land, will determine upon their obedience. And he outlined their history. They'd go out of that land when they disobeyed, but he would bring them back, and finally he'll return them, and they'll never, never go out again. Why? Because they're going to obey him? No, because God makes his covenant good, and when they come back, then they will obey. That's exactly what he says to us today. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and when you do, then he talks to you about obedience. Then he says to us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 20, I drop down to it, here in chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice. And I want to repeat again, love and obedience is the great theme of Deuteronomy, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwelt in the land. Now, if this was so important for the children of Israel, how important it is for you and me in this day of grace, when we've been given so much more, and since our responsibility is greater today. One of the things that I pray for, I think more devoutly than anything else, is that I may be kept close to him today. Oh, friends, we need to be kept close to the Lord Jesus Christ, how important that is.